it's a really cool feeling being able to help other people in doing this kind of thing. Because this is, you know, it's a music career is difficult. It's not the easiest thing ever. And like being able to help people get there is just like, it's super rewarding.
Hey, what's up? This is Gabe from Legion Beats and MIDI Money, which is where we help music producers start, grow, and scale their music production businesses. Now, if you'd like to learn more about how I was able to turn Legion Beats into a profitable business and how you can join our community of hundreds of producers all working towards that same goal, head over to MIDIMoney.com/go.
Gotta get a sip of that energy drink or caffeine.
I thought you were drinking a beer.
No, it's
five.
Nah, what are you drinking there?
I'm drinking kombucha.
Ah, nice.
Made from kombucha. My hometown, man.
Oh, okay, out there in Portland?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, man, how's the Bay Area been?
Man,
how's Cali been with all this COVID stuff?
I mean, you know, the thing about what I do and I assume, you know, most of what you're doing too, is it's like, it's pretty isolated anyways in a lot of ways. Like, I spend a lot of time on Zoom like we are right now or talking to people, but it's almost all virtual anyways. Mm-hmm. So like for me, that part of it luckily hasn't been like a as big of a shift or impact as it has been for other people. Like we have this, like right now where I'm at, this is our studio. I'm in a little office upstairs, but we've got two studios downstairs. So that business basically dried up, as you could imagine. You know, we stopped doing sessions for a long time. We're now starting to do some sessions again. But luckily that's now a relatively small percentage of our business. If this was, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that was like most of my income was the studio.
So I didn't even realize that you ran a studio for like recording sessions and stuff like that. I thought you just did your stuff.
Yeah.
Out. Okay, cool.
Yeah, no. That's been, I guess, almost like my day job, I guess you could say, you know, where it's like I've always produced, I've always made beats, always sold beats, although only started doing the online thing a little more recently. But being an engineer, running a studio, that was kind of like, you know, other than a couple little random, you know, still having a couple little random day jobs here and there and stuff, that was basically what my kind of like day job was, you know, running sessions, running the studio.
Oh, got it. Cool, man.
What's crazy too is we upgraded. I was in the same spot for like 15 years. We upgraded to the spot that I am right now, which is actually in the same building, but a lot bigger. The other one was basically one room that kind of had a booth and, you know, that was about it. This one, you know, we've got Studio A, you know, we've got like, then there's like a hallway. There's Studio B over here with like a pretty big lounge. There's like two different entrances. I've got the office that I'm in upstairs. And we pretty much moved in like pretty shortly before COVID hit, where it's like, well, now I'm paying for like basically, you know, this huge space to go like walk upstairs into my little office. But, you know, it is what it is.
At least everything's starting to come back, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I know like Cali was like pretty bad for a while, especially like in the Bay Area. Like you guys were like the first ones to go on lock. And then, and then like everyone else shut down around you afterwards. But Is everything opening back up now? Like the mask mandates are like lifted and stuff with you guys?
Yeah. It was all lifted, you know, as far as like anything government, you know, whatever private business wanted to ask you to wear a mask, you know, obviously anything medical, they're going to want you to wear a mask like a hospital or something. But now what I'm hearing just more recently is they're going to bring it back because of the variants and whatever. Right. So,
yeah. It's like enjoy the summer while you can until like the fall rolls around or something again. So
basically, is it about the same up there in Portland?
Kind of, man. Like the Delta variant or whatever is like kind of like the scare right now. So it's kind of like numbers are upticking, stuff like that. And it sounds like we might like have to put back the mask mandates and stuff like that, which is like unfortunate, but like, I mean, whatever. This is kind of the world we're living in right now. And if it's like we have to do that to help the cause and help people stay safe and whatnot, then I'm down with it, literally.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially since, like you said, we work like online and stuff. So we're pretty fortunate to be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of, man, I've been seeing the content and stuff. You know, I see you in my Instagram feed. Great job. What's that been like for you? So I know like when we... Because what? We first met at the MIDI Money Mastermind, right?
Right. Yeah. That was... When was that? Last year?
Yeah, it was January. It was right before COVID. It was 2020, the end of February. So it was like literally right before, you know, all the, you know, COVID really started hitting.
Yeah, definitely. I remember that. Who knew that was going to be the last time we'd like travel for a while?
So. I'm glad the timing was that, and that we hadn't scheduled it for, you know, a month later or whatever. And it was also right after Funnel Hacking Live. I'm super grateful that happened because I was able to, you know, speak and have that experience there. Where again, if that was scheduled a month later, it wouldn't happen. But that was a dope event. That Midi Money Mastermind.
That was awesome. Met a lot of friends there that I still talk to today.
That's great. Thanks for holding that, man.
That was phenomenal. That was awesome.
Man, thanks for coming. We weren't sure. You know, it's a big deal to say like, hey, we're going to hold this event. You got to like fly out and, you know, spend your money and do all that stuff. And so I'm grateful that you and the other producers came out. But that was really cool. We definitely are going to want to do that again, you know, sometime in the future when it's more possible.
That'd be awesome. I'll be there. I think that's the coolest part about it is like there's so much friction between like, you know, leaving your house and like booking a plane ticket, buying the tickets to the event and like going there that like, you know, all those people that are there are like super dedicated to what they do. And that was the coolest part because you like get to like meet all these people that are just so into this kind of stuff that you don't generally, like, you know, on a day to day basis, you don't really run into very many music producers around you that are that super dedicated about it. So it was super cool.
Definitely.
Very great experience.
Definitely. And I know at that time, or correct me if I'm wrong, like you were focusing more on selling beats to rappers, right? Was that the main goal there? And if I'm, at least from what I'm seeing from the content on Instagram, you're now focusing more on a producer audience. Is that right?
Yeah. So,
or are you doing both?
I'm doing like a little bit of both, but right now, primarily, I'm putting most of my focus on helping other producers learn how to produce and start to generate income themselves. So my target was kind of like at rappers for a while because I just felt like that's what you do as a producer, right? Like you reach out to artists and you like, hey, let's work. But I just felt like I have more of a connection with producers because I just feel like I can speak their language and I just like know their pain points and what they're going through so much more because like I've been a producer since I was in high school. Like it's been like 12 years and like,
yeah,
you know, I struggled so hard to try to make this a career and I tried so many different things. And so like I did a lot of trial and error. And so if I can get someone else to the point of where they can like make a sustainable living with their music and know how to produce without having to like overcome, like do all this trial and error that I had to go through, then it just, I don't know, man. It's just, I feel like I can get them to that path quicker. And it's just, it's really, it's a really cool feeling being able to help other people in doing this kind of thing. Cause this is, you know, it's a music career is difficult. It's not the easiest thing ever. And like being able to help people get there is just like, it's super rewarding.
Definitely.
And I'm sure you know, like you've helped this entire community.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can definitely relate, you know, to what you're saying as far as being able to, well, relate with the audience, you know, because of course I was doing Legion Beats for years before I started doing MIDI Money, you know, doing the stuff to an audience of producers. And there is something I have to say that I really love about the MIDI Money side because of what you said. Like I connect more with producers. Like I don't think that's a bad thing to say. Like that is me. That's my experience. I don't have the experience necessarily of an artist, of a rapper or a singer. I've certainly worked closely with a lot, especially, you know, being in the studio and whatever, but it's not exactly my experience. So it's fun. It's really fun to work with producers. What's interesting for me is that the thing that I've had the most, you know, profit, the most revenue, the most success really has been on the Legion side of selling beats, which I think is ironic because, you know, the criticism that I get, that a lot of people get, that teach are like, oh, you can't do it, so you teach it. And it's like, man, you know, what's crazy is like, if I was anywhere near as good at teaching how to sell beats as I was at selling beats, like, I'd be doing pretty good right now. Like, it's crazy how much, like, man, like how much, looking at like the last year plus or so, you know, because so much of the focus for me was on MIDI money up until sort of late 2020, when then I shifted a little focus back to Legion. I was like, oh my God, like, it's so much easier to make money selling beats than teaching it, at least for me. Yeah, that's been my experience.
Okay.
But, you know, everybody's different, and it's, you know, everybody's got, it sounds like it was kind of the opposite for you. Is that right? Have you been having more success with the producer audience?
Kind of. I mean, like, definitely like the selling beats thing, I can see how it's very lucrative, and I still do it to this day. I just don't put as much focus in it.
Yeah.
Just because, like, again, like I said, like, I just feel like I can like speak to producers better, and I can hit their pain points so much better than I can do with an artist, because obviously I don't have any experience being an artist. And so like, I can research what their pain points are, but I've never felt them. So like, the language that you portray is just like so much different when you're speaking with somebody that you actually can relate to versus somebody that you just have a slight understanding of what they're going through. So
definitely. I think so much of the success comes down to that, is can you communicate the problem that your customer is having clearly to them and in the language that they understand?
Exactly.
Yes, super. And that's only going to be easier for the most part if that is you, you know. Like, you can definitely make it work. Like I think with Legion Beats, we've been able to do it, but it's mainly been because we ask a lot of questions. We see, okay, what language, how are they responding? And then trying to incorporate that language, like you said, those pain points, what are they struggling with, all that kind of stuff, into our messaging, our videos, our emails, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's a lot easier if you are your own customer avatar. That definitely makes it easier.
Right. Exactly. Cause like, one of like the important things about like getting your message through to somebody or getting someone to listen to you is if you can describe their pain points better than they can. Right. And then like, if you've been through it, then you know exactly like how to describe that. But like, if you've only like looked it up on Google, it's kind of just like, hey man, this is what you're going through. Right. And it's just like, basically like on, going off of that, it's kind of just like assuming you know what they're going through, but you don't really. And so like, being a producer and being able to show other producers how to do what you do, it just like, I mean, it just comes natural because that's what you are.
Right.
So that's where I found it easy for me. What do you think your, you said you were having more, a harder time with the producer side than selling beats. What do you think that is?
Man, I'm still trying to figure it out. It's the profit margins is really the problem. It wasn't sales, because we did well on sales. We had a lot of people come into MIDI Money, but it was just, you know, for a long time was, at first it was profitable. Then I was actually losing a bunch of money, which ironically was at the time when we scaled up the hardest. So there's like sort of like the sort of mid early months of 2020 when we really scaled things up. You know, we had a couple months there where we were, you know, six figures in ad spend, right? Just on the MIDI money side. And one thing that a hard lesson I learned is that at scale, things, the math is different, right? So like from, let's say the Legion side or from MIDI money from before, where like, if I was spending whatever, $10,000 a month on ads, and the immediate return on ad spend was $10,000, meaning those people click those links, and within whatever, you know, the first few days, they end up spending about $10,000. I was thrilled. Like, that's awesome. Cool. I'm breaking even on my ad spend. I'm bringing in customers. I'm bringing in leads. I'm getting emails. I'm getting phone numbers. I know over the course of the lifetime value of that customer, over the course of those people coming into my world, that is going to be profitable, right? And that's definitely true. What ended up happening when we were spending $150,000, and I try to do that same math, is just things start breaking. So all of a sudden, things that seem negligible before are huge. So like, you know, our merchant fees, our PayPal and Stripe fees were like $10,000. You know, refunds were, you know, I don't know, $15,000-$20,000. You know, hiring more customer support, you know, all these different things that you know, that are very small problems, when they're small become very big problems at that scale. So I ended up, and then on top of all that, you know, I'm like pretty good with spreadsheets and numbers and stuff, you know, it's all relative, but you know, not bad. And so at that time I was pretty much keeping track of all of my books myself. And when it was small, again, it worked great because I could really see everything and I had all these spreadsheets connected in all these different places and formulas. But again, at scale, it all kind of broke. And it was like, I didn't know my numbers accurately anymore. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until like a couple months too late, basically, that I was like, oh man, like I actually lost $25,000 last month. Like there was our biggest revenue month, you know, combined, it was like, you know, over $250,000, right? In a month, I think it was like $300,000 in a month in revenue. Mm-hmm. And that month, my profit was -$25,000. So it was like, it was like, man, this is crazy. Like I've never worked harder. There was all the, you know, the stress, all the craziness, you know, plus, you know, with MIDI money, we got some, anytime you scale a badge, you're going to get some negative feedback and stuff, but it was like pretty bad. There was a lot of people who are just, I don't know, sick of seeing my face in their Instagram feed or whatever it was. And then after all that, I'd like lost money for that month. And, you know, like I said, since then, overall, we have been profitable. But yeah, I didn't know my numbers well enough at the time to realize that I was losing that much money. And so it wasn't until then, now I've, you know, started working with a new CPA and bookkeeper, and we've got everything in QuickBooks, and it's all, you know, I can really see my numbers so much better now. Mm-hmm. So I have a much better sense of, okay, what, you know, how much money are we actually making here? And then what's crazy too, is as you know, I stopped focusing on Legion as much. Like we still had, you know, we have our membership, we had, you know, we're still doing stuff, but I hadn't like launched a new thing for like almost a year. Then November, we did a contest. We did the Snoop contest. We did a Black Friday launch. We did another beat pack launch at the end of that contest. So all within those 3 or 4 months, and those things were so much more profitable, like not even close to the year previous of all the Bitty Buddy stuff that was like so much more stressful and harder to do. So that was just my experience. I think the ceiling on, you know, let's say MIDI money is high and it's possible to do, and I'm not giving up on it at all. Yeah, I love to do it. Uh-huh. It's just so far that's been my experience. It's just been way more profitable on the beat selling side.
Okay, cool. Do you think it's a sheer numbers thing, like the mass amount of people that you have to deal with, and like all these, you know, because more people, like you're gonna get, everything else is gonna increase, right? Like returns, back charges, and like stuff like that. Do you think it's because of the sheer mass of people when you scale?
I mean, that was definitely a big part of the problem with what we were doing with MIDI money, was scaling the ads without taking those things into account. So I think it's more about realizing that, knowing your numbers. That's probably honestly the number one lesson I got, was really knowing your numbers and knowing them well, so that you can see this stuff in real time. Of like, wait, okay, I'm not just seeing all this money coming in and I kind of feel like I'm making a bunch of money, but oh, I can see there's actually this exact amount going out, and here's where it's going out, here's where it's coming in, and make those decisions, because it's definitely possible to scale, right? There's plenty of businesses that have way more customers and way more money than we do. It's just having those accurate numbers. Yeah.
Do you think not realizing your numbers at the time, do you think that's what made you make those decisions to continue to scale without realizing that you're losing money?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. It was because I didn't, and it's not like I didn't know my numbers at all. I had some idea, but it was off like, enough.
I'm doing good.
Yeah, where again, like, hey, at a smaller scale, if you're, you know, 10 or 15% off, that's a few thousand bucks. But then all of a sudden it scales up and now it's, you know, tens of thousands of dollars or whatever. So it was, so that was the part that I wasn't prepared for. And now that I've got a better sense of my numbers, I know that we can, you know, we have the ability to scale up and know if it's still being profitable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool. Yeah, definitely. That's what I've heard about doing like programs like at that price too. This is what I've learned from Dan Henry. And so there was basically, when I was doing my program, when I was setting up my program, there was a couple different ways that I could go about it. One being kind of like what you are doing, where you sell off of an order page. Mm-hmm. And then the other method that he teaches is the high ticket method. So you send them to an application and then to a phone call. And
got it. So opt in for webinar, right? Auto webinar, pre-recorded webinar.
Yep.
And then, so on mine, then I send them to an order form, and you're saying on yours, you send them to book a call, right?
Yeah. So I send them to an application, and then basically they fill out the application, and if they get pre-qualified, then they either get denied or they move on to my schedule page, depending on how they answer. And if they move on to the calendar page, then they would pick a time to book a phone call with me. And that's where a lot of the heavy lifting would come from. Mm-hmm. And so what he was explaining to me, why I decided to go with the phone call model, is that there's just, he was explaining what you explained, basically, was saying like he had to like hire people just to handle, you know, support tickets and all this stuff that just, it was a headache to him. And so he made an example where like February 2019, he had did $1 million that month, but he compared it to his February of 2020, where he only did like half as much, like $500,000 or something like that. But his profit margin on the $500,000 was so much bigger than what it was on the million, because he had switched over to the high ticket method.
Right.
So a lot of times, like, people might be scared of that method because they're like, oh, you have to get on the phone and you have to talk to people. But he was kind of explaining how, like, you know, you replace doing that, which talking on the phone, with like five other things that you don't want to do, whether it's like support tickets, returns, piracy, like all this kind of stuff. And it was kind of just like, at that point, I was just like, man, what do I want to do? Because I had in mind that I wanted to sell my program at, like, you know, like $1,000 or something like that, right? Which is something you can do on an order page. But once you move up past a certain amount, then it's hard to be like, hey, you want to sign up for my program on this order page? Just give me $8,000 or something like that. It's hard to ask for that amount of money. So that's where, like, you have to put that personal touch into it, and where you get them on the phone and get them comfortable with being able to part with that sum of money. Not in a way where, like, we're manipulating them, but we're, like, getting them to understand truly that, first of all, you know, like, why it's this important that you invest in yourself. And once they're comfortable with that, like, you, the cool thing about high ticket is, like, all your students, they'll show up and they'll do exactly what you're saying, because they are so heavily invested into the program.
You know? Yeah. Totally. So that's,
yeah. I mean, like, for example, like, I remember when I bought like a course that was like, maybe like, I think it was like $1,000 or something, which is, it's still a large chunk of money, but it's not enough to be like, oh my God, like, I'm thinking about that all the time. So I think I signed up for this program and I just never logged in. I just did nothing with it. And then I signed up for another program that was $10,000. And it was like, I'm doing every single thing that he says, right? Like, I took out a loan. I, you know, took out money from my savings. Like, I'm doing everything he says. Yeah. And it's changed my life.
Yeah. No, yeah. I've had the same thing where it's, you know, it's not just about access to the information, right? It's access to the person, but it's also, yeah, when you know, they say when you pay, you pay attention, right? And so same thing for me, where I've had, you know, I've now signed up for a couple different coaching programs that were actually each $25,000 a year, which is like, it's a lot of money, right? And so, you know, when I signed up, same thing, I was like, I'm going to make this. I spent $25,000. I better figure out how to make this worth $25,000. So I'm going to do it. Whereas, same thing, like you said, I've had times where I've bought a little course, bought a little training, you know, or even worse, honestly, there's a bunch of amazing free content out there, but I have no skin in the game. So I do check out some of it, whatever, but not nearly the way I did and have when I've been in those high ticket coaching programs. Mm-hmm. I'm curious about your offer. What can you tell me? What are you selling?
Yeah, so I show producers how to produce beats that attract artists and basically bring them in and turn them into high-ticket clients. So I kind of show them the same exact model that I do. I mean, I implement the same model. So it would basically be like, I show them how to, first of all, produce, you know, have a polished product. And then I show them how to use the system that I use, which is getting them from, you know, giving them a lead magnet, and then taking them to a VSL, a video sales letter, where it kind of describes what they do, what they're about, what kind of music they have, and basically shows them a catalog of your music, and then if they want to work with you and do custom deals, like more custom beats, more exclusives and stuff like that, then they would book a phone call with you. And then I show them how to do the sales call process. I show them how to do ads, copywriting, marketing, all that good stuff that you need to kind of change, turn your music hobby into a career, a potential career.
Got it. That's awesome. So how long does your program last?
So you have coaching access to me for a year if you sign up.
Uh-huh.
Right now I'm giving them lifetime access to the course.
I don't know
if that's the right thing to do, but what,
what's the coaching access look like? Is it email, Voxer, group coaching?
Weekly, and, uh-huh. It's weekly one-on-ones.
Oh wow.
Right now it's weekly one-on-ones, but as I scale, it's something that I'm gonna probably change into a group coaching.
Right.
But right now it's one-on-ones, Zooms, phone calls, whatever it takes.
Got it. And then do you have, you also have like a course, like a video training that goes, that teaches that process, like module one, module two, that type of thing as well?
Yeah. So the bulk of the information, like all of the marketing tricks, all the production trainings, everything is all in the course. They just jump on the on the coaching with me when they have a question on how to execute something, or if they need help, if they need reviews with their beat, let's say they need help with mixing and they've gone through the modules and learned the processes, and if they still can't figure it out, that's when they would come to me, and then I would, you know, it's, the coaching aspect is kind of tailored to their individual needs. So like if they're having trouble with mixing their snare, sure, or something like that, then that's where they would jump on with me and do the coaching.
Got you. And then what are you recommending for them to make their high ticket offer? Is it custom exclusive beats? Is there, mm-hmm, Is that right?
Got it. So a lot of times, yeah. So it's, you know, we package offers, whether it be exclusive custom singles or EPs or full length albums. So like if you were to, you know, work with an artist for throughout their EP, you know, you can charge a pretty penny for that. And
got it. So if I'm, so let's say I'm an artist and you're pitching me, like, what, I don't know, what's some of the stuff, like how would you pitch me on the, you know, on the bundle and what's included and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So the way that I teach people how to do sales calls, it's a lot less pitchy and salesy per se. I teach them a lot about, more about, the easiest way to do it is like get emotional with these people, right? Mm-hmm. Like we all deep down do music for some sort of reason more than just to sound cool and make cool sounds. Okay. So like, whether it be like, you know, we try to uncover these things by asking them questions that lead into, you know, a certain direction. So like, it's like, well, it may start off with like, well, why did you book this phone call? Why do you want to work with me? I'll be like, oh, I need a producer that does custom beats. It's like, well, why do you want to do custom beats? It's like, oh, because I want a unique sound and I don't want to sound like everybody else. It's like, why do you want that? It's like, well, because I want to stand out from the crowd. I don't want to be just any Joe Schmo that just buys a beat off BeatStars and like sounds like everybody else. It's like, why is that important to you? Why is music important to you? It's like, oh, well, I've been doing music since I was 5. And, you know, it's just something that I've always done my whole life. And I felt like, you know, this is what I was meant to do. And I wasn't meant to do a 9-to-5 job. I meant to do this. It's like, well, how would that change your life if you were able to do this full time? It's like, well, you know, I'd be able to be around my family more. I have a daughter that, you know, like I want to be a role model to her. And so like this kind of just like, you can, with these kind of conversations and these questions, you can just like escalate quickly to like dig deeper on what these issues are and why they need this kind of help. Right.
Yeah.
Because on the surface level, it's like, yeah, I want custom beats, but it's like beneath it, there's so much more.
Right.
And when you can get them to uncover those and spill their guts to you, it's like, that's a good relationship.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I know that's a big one for sure. Like, you know, sales calls is not something I have a ton of experience with at all. But it's something that I'm learning a little bit more about. And that's, you know, definitely a big one is asking why like 5 times, because you'll get like the surface. And then the next time you get like a little deeper and then a little bit mm-hmm. deeper and a little bit deeper. And then you start to get to like, okay, now here's where it's like, here's the real reason why that's important to you.
Exactly.
And then it's like, okay, well, you know, like you said, then it's like projecting that future. Well, what would that be like? And then it's like, well, what's stopping you from doing that? You know, and then if it's all set up right, you know, and you have the solution to that, then it's like, well, would you like me to help you do that? Right. And it's exactly. Of course I do.
Yeah.
And then just getting into more of like the actual specifics, is the offer generally just, I don't want to say just, but is it cool? I'll make you a beat. As far as the actual like list of things, are you recommending that producers bundle other things in there? Or is that really, that's the thing is cool. We're going to work on this beat together. We're going to, you know,
make a custom beat. So it depends like what the student or the producer has to offer, right? Like, so if they are only capable of making beats, then that's kind of what they stick to and that works perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But I do encourage you to bundle different skills that you have into it. Like, let's say you have a guy that shoots music videos and your friend shoots music videos, and maybe you can give him a percentage of the money that you get from the artists and stuff like that. You can create this huge project. It really just depends what kind of skills you have. Like, do you have designing skills? Can you do cover art for these people? Can you do each one of their single cover arts up until the release of like their EP or their full length album or whatever it is? And if you have people that you know that are good with marketing, or if you're good with marketing and you can run ads for this artist and you can promote for them and all this stuff, there's so many things that you can just bundle in there to create more value for these people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I mean, it's the same principles that we teach. Mm-hmm. You know, our primary model is a little bit more about scale. You know, so we tend to focus more on the non-exclusive licenses. Not that you can't, you know, apply the same thing there, but yeah, same idea. What other value can you add to that offer, whether if it is information or a service? And I think a big one is something you mentioned there too, is like, it doesn't have to be you as the producer who's doing those things. You could just be the person connecting them to that person, you know, or they go through you, or that product, you know, you're offering it from you. And even if you literally are just the person connecting them, like, people will love you for that. And there is value there of just like, oh yeah, well, if I need help, you know, with something related to music, I'm going to ask Gabe just because he knows. Right. And then sometimes that might result in me selling the thing, and sometimes it might result in, you know, me sending him to you or whatever. But when you become that resource, I think that's when you really have those long-term, super valuable relationships with your customers, because they trust that you're going to have an answer to help solve their problem.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you're building like this world of networks, right? Like, if you can, like, say you're doing music videos, say you're doing like design, cover art or something like that, like, you're bringing people in from these other creative spectrums, you know, like different realms of creativity, like film, like art and music and stuff like that. So like, that's how you help expand your network as well. Like, if you can, you know, it's like, cool, I just, you know, got this job with this artist. Well, I'm gonna bring in my filmmaker buddy and stuff like this now. So now you're just like, you're helping everybody out, whether it's anywhere within music or not, you know, like, so it's super cool. It's fun.
For sure. So the framework that you're teaching producers is essentially have them send their potential customers to an opt-in page, right? Mm-hmm. Is that right? With some kind of lead magnet, meaning something for free in exchange.
And so what is it? A free PDF guide, free beats, something like that.
Got it. And then next page is a video of that producer talking about what?
Talking about kind of like themselves and what they have to offer. So like, let's say you're a reggaeton producer or something like that, then you can talk about that and why you do that and how you can help your people out, whoever your client is. And then basically, like, they have like an attached, you can embed like a, you know, some of your beats down there so they can see and hear some of your work. And mainly focusing on like how you can help your people though, like your clients, your prospects.
Right.
So that they would want to book that phone call with you. Like, what makes you different? You know, like, what do you have to offer? Is it like, say like it's a reggaeton producer. That's pretty unique, right? Like, you don't run on the every day. Like, there's a lot of trap producers and stuff like that, but you don't, you know, just whatever makes you unique. And I kind of help them craft those kind of offers. And the thing with like high ticket, I love that is I can I can kind of give them, my students, that red carpet experience where I can like really dive in and spend a lot of time with them and craft these offers. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, that's primarily what I'm focused on now, is like, I just want to get like my students the best results as possible, man.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's awesome. I love that, that you can spend that time, you know, mm-hmm. with them, which is also the model that you're teaching. As far as once the producer's got the artist on the phone, we talked a little bit about, you know, what that might sound like. What kind of prices are your students charging, or what are you recommending, or what are you seeing that's working as far as for, you know, a custom exclusive and whatever other kind of things you're putting in these offers?
Yeah, definitely. So the biggest thing when it comes to pricing is just mindset. And because like there's no actual value on like what your beat is worth. Like no one can say what your beat's worth. It's like, nope, your beat is only worth $25. Like, says who? You know, it's 100% perceived. So like if you can get the sales call, a lot is to frame around like how you can get these people to see the kind of value that you offer. And if you can't get them to see that, keep practicing. And if they don't see that because that's just the way that they are, then you're talking to the wrong person.
Yeah.
And that's kind of just part of the filtration process that, you know, our funnels go through, is kind of like, you know, they go through the application page. There's a lot of friction, first of all, right? Because it's like they have to sign up, they have to watch the video, they have to, if they're that committed, then they will fill out the application. And on the application, if they answer questions that are important for them to get on the phone with you, if they answer that wrong, you take them to a denial page. And if they get on the phone with you, then they're a pretty hot lead, right? Like they've kind of jumped through hoops in order to get on that phone with you. Like they picked a time to get on the phone, they waited by their phone, they took that phone call and everything. There's like, they're pretty committed by that time. And if right. they still can't get over the price and they can't see the value, then A, you just have to keep getting better at sales, mm-hmm. or B, like they're just, you're not talking to the right person. And you right. got to understand that like not everybody is meant to be somebody that you work with. Like,
yeah, if for someone's sure. a especially, pain in the, especially the high ticket model.
Right. So like if someone's a pain in the ass, but you just want their money, like I'm not going to tell you to do that. That's just, you know, it's bad, because you're going to have you're just going to have a terrible experience moving forward, because you have to work yeah. with them. You're not just taking their money. Like you have to work with them.
Right.
And like, you know, difficult clients are just, if it's not meant to happen, it's not meant to happen.
Yeah.
But if it's someone that you feel like is a good fit and you want to work with them, then obviously I try to help teach these kind of sales and negotiation tactics and overcoming objections and stuff like that. Have you ever read Never Split the Difference?
Yes, I did. He was a dude who was like a hostage negotiator, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a cool book.
That one's super cool. And like what we were talking about earlier, like how you try to uncover things by asking questions. He's saying a lot of times, like if you ask how and what questions, those are like the most effective. So like what do you think caused you to do this or something like that? But a lot of times, he also said, like, if you ask why questions, it kind of mm-hmm. sounds like you're talking down on them. Like, why did you do that? You know what I mean? So you switch that up to like, what do you think, you know, made you want to do that? And so it's just like, it's a completely different shift, but it's kind of crazy, like how human psychology works and like what certain words do to trigger certain parts of your brain and stuff. So it's super cool. And there was actually another thing that I read on there. There was like a study where, people had a damaged limbic system in their brain, and that's the portion of your brain that that controls emotion and makes decisions, right? So decisions are 100% tied to emotion. So since they had that part of their brain that was damaged, they couldn't make any decisions. Like they could justify logically why they should do things. Like let's say, you know, I should brush my teeth because if not, my teeth are gonna fall out and I'm going to have cavities and all this stuff. But then if someone were to be like, do you want to brush your teeth now? They would be like, they wouldn't be able to make that decision. that's why we like try to get emotional with people, because decision making and emotional and emotion goes hand in hand.
Right. Right.
So if you try to use logic, it just doesn't work as well.
Totally. No, super important. Yeah. Just being like, hey, here's the reason why this is a good idea for you. It's not enough. You have to tell the story. You have to have them, you know, emotionally invested. And it's the same thing, I think, for selling. And it's also the same thing for teaching. That's something that I learned, is like, if you're teaching a concept and you're like, yeah, you should do this, this, and this, and even have the evidence, hey, this worked really, look, check it out, I made $1 million, you should do it this way too. Even that's still not quite enough. But if you can put some emotion into that story in a way that that person, you know, sees themselves in it, then all of a sudden they're going to actually remember that and be much more likely to implement it. So it makes sense where, that emotion is super important, whether if it is sales or teaching. But I you didn't quite answer a question I asked you about. What numbers are you doing? Like what kind of, like, you know, what are you charging for these custom beats, or what are you recommending people charge for the custom beats or these packages?
Oh, okay. So it really like kind of depends on like how they're feeling at the time. Like I always tell my students to like, not like start out super low, but start out like above kind of like what you think you should charge. Like a lot of people will come and be like, maybe I'll charge like $250 for a beat or something. I'm like, okay, cool. So you're going to start at 500, because it helps them break that like kind of that self-limiting belief as soon as they get that first sale. Uh-huh. But also it just the more that you do it, you get more comfortable with it, and like you don't have to stop at that point. Like you continuously move up, right? Like, so it's like, okay, you're comfortable with 500 now. Well, on the next call, just say 1,000. Like when they ask for a price, instead of saying 500, you just say 1,000.
Sure.
That's it.
Right. What prices are you seeing sales being made?
Yeah. So generally, like, we 1,000 is kind of like the starting point for like a custom. Is what I teach my students to do.
That's awesome. Very cool.
So like sometimes if they come in and they're just like super like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. It's like, well, maybe do like 500 or something, so that you can, once you get that yes, you can, you'll feel a lot better. And then it changes their mindset like so quickly, because you get so excited, right? Like, remember making your first dollar, Gabe, selling stuff online? Like,
yeah, sure.
Was that exciting?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So like when you make that first sale, then you're kind of just like, oh man, I feel so great about this. I could do this forever. So it helps uplift your spirit, and it helps you just feel better, and then you can operate your business better.
Definitely. Yeah, no, that was my experience for sure. Like I remember even just launching Midi Money, like we already had a lot of success with Legion, but you know, the first time we did our first webinar, you know, me and Adrian, and we pitched it. I was like, yeah, I don't know if anybody's going to buy this. And, you know, we're charging so much, which at that time was like, I don't know, less than half of what we charge now, you know, but I see a couple sales come in and then see the results that people are getting. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, of course, like this is worth it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I think it is important to get those wins early on, start getting those sales.
I got to ask, how did you feel when you first did your first webinar?
I mean, before it, I was super nervous. I'm like an anxious person, so I get nervous for everything. But I do remember feeling like, man, this is a new business. I think there's a huge potential here for us to, you know, really grow this thing and you know, to potentially kind of shift the landscape of the industry. And so in my mind, I had so built up of like, well, depending on how well I do on this one webinar, it's going to determine the future, like my future, my career, the industry, you know, all this, like putting way too much on it than I really should. Cause obviously, like, even if all those things do come true, it's like, whatever, I'll do it again and keep making it better and better. Right. So I was so scared. But I do remember once I did it and we got, you know, sales coming in, and then more importantly, the results after that of people being, you know, having incredible success stories, and then it was like a huge relief and gave me a ton of confidence to like, okay, all right, next one, you know, is going to be even better. Next one's going to be even better. So it's exactly what you said. You get those wins, you get those sales, and then now it's like, okay, now I feel better. I can go to the next level and the next level, and I still deal with it. You know, like we do a little bit of like a more high level coaching thing that, you know of, but it's like, it's not even really public. Like we don't even really talk about it outside of the people who have already come into our course and have already had success and whatever. And we might actually change that. But even I have like for sure still things of like, well, okay, I know I've paid $25,000 a year, but maybe I should charge, you know, whatever, $200. You know what I mean? Not that low, but it's like, it's so stupid, but I still have that. But as we do it, as we get more students, then I feel more comfortable of like, you know what, actually the value here is like, man, this last guy just did a launch and made, you know, $20,000 more than he probably would have otherwise. Yeah, I think I could probably charge a little more for this, you know, to kind of make sense. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard to do that until you've done it and gotten the sales and gotten the results.
Yeah. I mean, exactly like what you said, like you're like, I know your high-end program is absolutely worth it, but like to you, you like might get some like imposter syndrome type feeling, right? Like,
oh yeah.
Like, oh man, should I be charging this much? And so like, that's how much of like a mindset it is, right? Because like, it's mostly like you like kind of getting in your own way. You're kind of just like, oh man, I don't know if I should be charging this much. Like, this is a lot of money I'm asking from people. Like, they're going to find out and then like my world is going to end. So like, you go through a lot of like just this internal struggle, but that's exactly what it is. A lot of it is just internal. And so I feel like sometimes like with my students, I'm just like a life coach too. I'm just like, man, let's get over this. Get over this feeling and stuff. So, and like, you can't just really tell them. You can't be like, get over this. Like, it's worth it. And like, you have to find ways to get them to understand like what we were talking about. Like, a lot of times through storytelling, it's just so powerful because you can tell them what to do. You can just be like, do this, do this, do this. But that's not very effective.
Yeah. No, dude, with MIDI Money, with Producer Funnel Secrets, with our course, that was something that the first version of it was really pretty much information. Right. And there was definitely producers who ran with it and had success. But what I started to see was that the mindset was so important. And I always hated that, like, especially when I was kind of first starting to get into the business stuff, because I'd hear it all the time, like, it's corny, or you it's do. Like some fake guru thing or whatever. Mindset. Like, just tell me the information. Just tell me what to do. I don't need to hear like, the mindset stuff and the stories and like all that stuff is like, that's just fluff. Like, I don't need that. That's, you know. Mm-hmm. But then I saw it in our group, you know, in the Mini Money Facebook group of like, the producers that were successful were the ones that had that mindset, that they stuck with it. When they ran into the problems, they kept going. They didn't stop because it got too hard. And that was by far the biggest thing that determined success, more than skill or talent or, I don't know, intelligence, any of that stuff, resources, anything, except for really the biggest thing was that mindset of basically being able to stick with it long enough to actually have success. Because if you don't have the mindset for that, you're gonna get stuck somewhere. You're gonna say, this sucks, this won't work for me. You give up, and then you have no chance.
Right, exactly. Like, you're gonna fall on your face the first time, and you're not gonna get up because you have that kind of mindset. But if you like have a different mindset, you're like, oh, that was okay, I could do that again. Like, you'll get up and you'll just do it again. That's just exactly. It's a huge difference. And I was the same way as you. I was like, mindset, I'm like, this is all woo woo BS. And like, dude, it's like, give me the facts, you know. It's like, you just like start to realize, you're like, wow, this is huge. Like, mindset is huge. And then you start going in this rabbit hole of like learning more mindset and psychology stuff. And it's just like, it's fascinating, man. It's so awesome. It's the coolest thing.
Definitely. Like, no, it's sales, cool to learn that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Sales and stuff. Like, sales is like so much. It's all mindset.
Yeah.
You know, like, I could be taking a phone call in a moving car or something like that, and I could not, it would be so terrible. Like, because like, you're just your environment and you're just like, your brain's everywhere. It's just, it's huge. And so that's just been something that's been like a huge focus for me, is like trying to get the mindset straight. Cause like you were saying too, like, I have a lot of anxiety. I was like, I took anxiety meds for like years, and like, I got hooked on like benzos and stuff. Like, it was freaking awful. But it's just, that's the thing, is like, your mentality is like the strongest driver, man. Ultimately.
Huge, huge, biggest thing, man. Well, it's been awesome, man. It's been fun to connect and chat. I guess before we wrap up, maybe just let people know the best place to find you, what you got coming up, and anything else you want to share before we get out of here.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, if you guys are music producers, which I assume a lot of you are, and you want to learn how to sell high ticket beats and get high ticket clients and learn more about music production and polishing your production, you can check out a free training that I have. It's on producebeatsartistsby.com. And my name's Chris, and I make music under the name Waveformation. You can find me on IG. You can find me on YouTube, Facebook, all the socials.
Love it. Love it. Cool, man. Appreciate you taking the time. Always fun to chat. Do it again soon. Thanks, Chris.
Man, thank you for having me. It's been great. Thanks, man.
Thank you for listening to the MIDI Money Podcast. If you're not subscribed already, please be sure to do that right now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would really appreciate if you do me a quick favor and rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or comment and like the videos on YouTube. You know, those ratings, reviews, those comments, they all show that people are getting value, helps the algorithm, and helps get this podcast out to more producers. So it means so much to me if you'd be willing to take a couple minutes to do that. Oh, and if you'd like to learn more about how I was able to turn Legion Beats into a profitable business and how you can join our community of hundreds of producers all working towards that same goal, head over to MIDIMoney.com/go.